supposed to read that a couple of years ago.
Okay, so let's learn a little bit about lemonade. We'll get to lemonade. We're not going to start with lemonade, but we'll get to lemonade. And the topic tonight is schita. Okay, schita means squeezing, pressing. So we're going to start by talking about fruits, and we'll touch on vegetables also, but it's mostly fruit. We'll talk about that. We'll get to lemonade, and then maybe in the next week or two, we'll talk about other applications of schita. Schita is actually a fairly common Balacha on Shabbos. Okay, so let's start with source number one, which is the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Hadash ki grogeres chayav," that if a person is dash, literally dash means thresh. Okay, and for those who don't know what thresh means, because we're not an agricultural society, we're not really farmers, but the thresh means when you take the wheat or the whatever other grain you're dealing with, and you basically smash it. Right, the first it's one of the first steps in production. You harvest it, and then the next step after harvesting is threshing. You smash it in order to separate, to loosen the chaff, which is the refuse from the good grain. And then the next step is winnowing, where you take that handful of grain, throw it up into the wind, and the wind blows away all the chaff that you don't want, and the grain that you do want falls back down. But that's the process of dash, is this process of threshing. That mefarek, hareu told us hadash. Mefarek means when I separate the grain from something else, from the shell or whatever it might be. So that is a tolda of dash. So dash is the av melacha, that's threshing. And any type of separation is a tolda of the melacha of dash. Comes the Rambam and writes, hasochet. Well, that's zoret, it's a separate melacha.
That's not a tolda.
Right, it's a separate melacha. Hasochet es haperos, continues the Rambam in several halachos later, actually, that if one squeezes or presses fruit, lahotzi mehen, in order to get the juice, right? I want to get the juice from the fruit. Chayav mishum mefarek. A person violates mefarek. It's a violation of mefarek. Now, the interesting thing here is that besides for zoreh, which is separating, but really through the wind, right? Through the use of wind. But if you think about it, there's another malacha that also involves separating, which is borer, which we haven't really discussed yet. But borer is a malacha where you're separating one thing from the other. So why do I have two malachas, two av malachas? One is called dash, and one is called borer, if seemingly it's the same malacha. It's just separating one thing from the other. So there are different approaches to this, how to distinguish between borer and dash. One of the distinctions is drawn by Rabbeinu Chananel in source number two. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, "Hadash hu amefarek hapsoles hamechuberes beochel umechinasam lebreira." Dash is the first step. It's the earlier step in the production, and what you're doing is you're separating or you're loosening the psoles. The psoles is the part of the grain that you do not want, which is attached to the grain, and you're preparing it for the next step, which is the breira, which is the separating. Nimtza, haborer, kulon ma'avirin psoles hame'uravos ba'ochel ve'ena mechuberes. So he says, borer is when you take that psoles, right, that chaff, which has been loosened, and is no longer attached to the grain, and now you separate it from the grain. So dush is the first step, where you're taking something that's attached, right, you have something that you don't want, attached to something that you do want, and you separate those two things. Okay, so they're no longer attached, but they're still mixed together. Then borer is the next step, where you then take that and you separate that which you do want from that which you don't want. So that's how Rabbeinu Chananel understands the concept of borer and mefarik. He gives an example, kigon klipa shetzricha peruk, o kigon afruris shetzarich niputz ela meureves bilvat. So he brings an example of, let's say you have some grain, but there's dirt and pebbles mixed into the grain. So the dirt and pebbles are not attached to the grain. So separating those things would be considered borer. He brings another example, which is interesting. He writes, if you have a klipa, like a shell, that requires a removal. So apparently he's talking about a shell that's not attached to the fruit. But if you have a shell that is attached or a peel that's attached, so then it sounds like that would be according to his definition, that would be mefarik and dush and not a violation of borer. That's what it sounds like. Some other poskim say that the dush is earlier in the production stage. Like dush is something that's done in the field. Now the farmer does dush. The farmer separates it. Anything that you're doing in your kitchen, that's already borer. That's a later stage when the food is already processed and it comes to you. And now I'm separating, that's borer. So that's more in terms of the timing of when you're doing it. The Rabbi Hananel draws the distinction in terms of how the psolus is connected to the ochel. Is it attached? Is it not attached? That's the distinction that he draws. Okay, but however you understand the distinction between dash and borer, which is an interesting question, but there are two separate malachos of dash and borer. Okay, now it's interesting that the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Memhei, which is source number 3, identifies that there's only two types of fruit for which you're chayav for dash or mefarek mida or raisa. And what are those? So writes the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Dvar Torah, Eino Chayav Ela Al Jerisas Zesim Va'anovim Bilvad. The only time that you're Chayav Mida Oraisa for Mefarik, for Dush, when it comes to, when it comes to Schita, right? Schita, you're really violating Mefarik. So the only time you violate Schita Mida Oraisa is only with Zesim Va'anovim, only with olives and grapes. Why specifically olives and grapes? There's a machlokas rishonim as to why exactly, what makes olives and grapes special. Writes Rashi there on that Gemara in Shabbos, on source number 4, Dvar Torah Klomar, as if to say, Asra Torah Melacha. The Torah prohibited Melacha. Udrichas Zeisim Va'anovim, Hu Dahavya Melacha. So when I press Zeisim Va'anovim, if I press olives and grapes, that's called Melacha. Aval Shar Drichos, but other types of pressing, Lav or chayhu b'hachi. It's not normal for a person to do that, right? It's not the usual way of pressing other types of fruit, and therefore v'lav malacha nenu. It's not called a malacha. So Rashi seems to be identifying that the Torah only prohibited a malacha. Now, what's a malacha? A malacha is something that's normally done. If it's normally done, then it's called a malacha. If it's something that's unusual and it's abnormal and it's not, I don't usually press this kind of fruit, then that's not called a malacha, because it's abnormal. So things that are abnormal are not called malachos. So malachos are things that are normally done.
But what's abnormal? You take grapes. So sometimes you eat grapes, sometimes you drink grape juice.
Right.
You have the example of orange juice.
Right.
You could squeeze the orange juice, so is that...
Correct, correct. So it seems that the Torah is identifying that zeisim va'anovim are essentially, what it would seem is that they're, you know, a higher percentage of them almost. I mean, he doesn't identify, you know, he doesn't tell us that we're talking about percentages or not. But I think what Rashi means is that the majority of grapes and olives are pressed. And if you would do a study in the world and find out the percentages in terms of how many olives are consumed raw or whole and how many olives are consumed pressed as olive oil, I would imagine that more olives are pressed.
Depends if you're a martini.
People do eat olives. I mean, people do eat olives, right? It's not an uncommon food. People have them in salads. People have them on pizza. I mean, people eat olives.
So you're saying Rashi would it go by the community itself or the whole world?
But it doesn't seem like this changes. I mean, it seems like the Torah identified that these two things, be'etzem, inherently, are things that are almost meant to be pressed. I mean, obviously, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu created them, but they're meant to be pressed. I mean, that's the way most people, you know, act. Uh-huh. Even grapes, as much as people eat grapes, and people do eat grapes, I would venture to say that in the world, the majority of grapes are grown for wine. For wine, for grape juice, you know, the majority of grapes are grown for that. That's really what a grape is for. Grapes can also be eaten. Olives can also be eaten. But the
lemon
yeah.
Isn't really eaten. Nobody's been eaten.
Okay, well, we'll talk about lemons, right? We'll talk about lemons. Right.
Lemon
okay? Okay. So that's the... So that's how Rashi understands the, you know, why Zeis and Va'anovim are different. Comes the Ran... In the Gemara on the Gemara in Shabbos, they're in source number 5, and the Ran writes a little bit of a different svara, and the Ran writes she'eno chayav el al drichas zeisim va'anovim bilvadu k'damin l'kaman. You're only chay for zeisim va'anovim. Aval shar peros hayotze mehen lo chashiv l'mashke lihischayev alav. He writes that which comes out of other fruit is not considered a mashke for you to be chayav. The Torah only made you chayav if you're sochet, if you squeeze or you press fruit, that results, it sounds like, in a significant mashke. Olive oil is a significant mashke. Grape juice, wine, that's a significant mashke. Other types of pressed fruit, whether it's orange juice, apple juice, other types of things, are not as significant. And we do see this because if you look at the prices, right? The price of olive oil and the price of grape juice and wine is much greater than the price of any other squeezed fruit, you know, more or less. So, you know, it seems that those two things are recognized by the world as more significant liquids, olive oil and wine. But when it comes to the other juices, grape juice, you know, apple juice, orange juice, other types of juices that are squeezed, those things are not as significant. That's the way that the Ran seems to deal with it. So Rashi seems to be focused on is the manner of pressing, is that a normal thing? If that's normal, then that's going to be Midel Raisa. That's why Zesim Vanavim are Midel Raisa. And other things are occasionally pressed, but that's not the inherent value of the fruit. And the Ran seems to say, no, it depends on the significance, the chashivus of the mashke, of the liquid that comes out. That's what it depends on. Okay. So that's the machlokas we showed how to understand it. But be it as it may, the Gemara says we're only chai for zeitzim va'anavim. Now what about other fruits? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, in source number 6, that other things are asur midirabbanan. Now the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit of a confusing, you know, it's a little bit confusing to understand what he's saying here, but let's follow along. Right? So Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, zeitzim va'anavim asur l'sachtam. Zeitzim va'anavim, you're not allowed to squeeze them, press them on Shabbos. Not only that, but writes the Shulchan Aruch, Vim yotzu me atzman asurim. And if the water, let's say the juice, right, the grape juice or the olive oil oozes out of the Zeisim Vanovim by itself, you don't press it, but it just comes out by itself. Nevertheless, it's still asur on Shabbos. Afilu lo hayom dinala l'achila. Even if you had grapes in your refrigerator that you wanted to eat, right, or olives in your refrigerator that you wanted to eat. I wanted to eat these olives. And now I notice at the bottom of the bag that some of the juice oozed out of these olives or these grapes. You're not allowed to eat that on Shabbos. You can't consume that juice. Right? Why not? So writes the Mishnah Brura, just skipping down, we'll come back to the rest of the Shulchan Aruch, but just skipping down to the Mishnah Brura in source number 7 for a minute, writes the Mishnah Brura, Asurim, Gzeira Shema Yavo Lo Sachto L'Chatchila. Because we're nervous that if we allow you to eat the juice that oozed out, you might come to press them. So therefore we say even juice that oozes out by itself is prohibited, is usher. So midal raisa, I'm not allowed to squeeze Zeisim Vanavim on Shabbos. If the juice oozes out by itself, then midirabbanan, I'm not allowed to consume that juice because we're afraid you might come to press the Zeisim Vanavim. That's all Zeisim Vanavim. Now, what about other types of fruits? Comes to Shulchan Aruch and writes, V'tusim v'rimonim, category 2. Category 2 is tusim v'rimonim. Tusim are berries. Right, we say tutsadeh is the, in modern Hebrew, is a strawberry, right? So tusim are berries, verimonim are pomegranates. Okay, so what about pressing tusim vanovim, berries and pomegranates? Says the Shulchan Aruch, asur l'sachton, you're not allowed to press them, you're not allowed to squeeze them. However, vim yatsu me'atzmon, but let's say the juice of the tusim verimonim oozed out by itself on Shabbos, then it depends. Im omdim la'achila muter, im omdim la'mashkim aser. That if the tusim and the rimonim were meant for eating, right? So then the juice that oozes out is going to be muter. But if they were meant for squeezing, you meant to press them, you just didn't get around to it yet, and now the juice oozes out by itself, so then it's aser. Now what's the reason behind this? So write the Mishnah Berurah again in source number 8, and we'll get back to the rest of the Shulchan Aruch. Af shestamayu omdim la'achila. Even though normally berries and pomegranates normally are eaten. They're not normally pressed for juice. They're normally eaten. However, ho'ilu miktsas b'nei adam sochtin osam, since there are people who do press these fruits, right? They do press berries and pomegranates for their juice. Kizeisim vanovim asruha rabbanon otu zeisim vanovim. Right? I'm sorry. Sochtin osam kizeisim vanovim. Since some people do press them like olives and grapes, so therefore the rabbanon came along and prohibited them like olives and grapes. That means that midirabbanan, you're not allowed to squeeze, you're not allowed to press tusim verimonim, midirabbanan, okay? However, if they come out, right, if these things, if the juice oozes out by itself, so the rabbis didn't prohibit that unless they were omed lemashke, if they were set aside for pressing purposes and you just haven't done it yet, so then they're going to be prohibited, but if they were set aside for food purposes, then they are permitted. So that's category 2. So category number 1, you have Zeisim Vanovim, you're not allowed to press them, and even if the juice oozes out by itself, it's also Midirabbanan. Category number 2, Tusim V'rimonim, Midirabbanan, you're not allowed to press them. Midiraisa, no problem. But Midirabbanan, you're not allowed to press them, because, you know, some people do press them. And if it oozes out, the rabbis only prohibited them if they were set aside for pressing purposes. Okay. Now, category number three. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Category number three at the end of the second line. Usha'ar kol aperos. All other types of fruit. Okay, all other types of fruit. So if you read the Shulchan Aruch, you would say, well, that means apples, oranges, right? All other types of fruit that were not listed here. Mutar l'sachta. You're allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. Comes the Rama and writes, Uvimakom shenagu lischot eze peros lishtos meimav machmas tzama otanug. Anytime you have a country where people have the custom to squeeze, to press certain fruit in order to drink its juice, dino kitusim v'rimonim. Then it gets the status of tusim v'rimonim. So the d'oraisa, we're not going to tamper with it. That's only zeisim v'anavim. But the Rabbanan came along and prohibited tusim v'rimonim because that's what people used to press. Writes the Rabbah, if that changes based on the time or place, and now people press other fruit, so those fruits would be prohibited midrabbanan, like tusim v'rimonim. Right? Comes the Mishnah Berurah based on that and writes in source number 9, therefore, what about apples nowadays? Writes the Mishnah Berurah, v'tapuchim ke'ayom, right? Nowadays, when we have apples, gam kein dino ketusim v'rimonim. Nowadays, apples would be like tusim v'rimonim, would be like these berries and pomegranates. D'yesh mekomo shenagu l'schot meyem harbe. There are some places they press many, many apples. Right? In America, we press a ton of apples. We make apple juice, apple cider. It's a very common drink. So therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, that nowadays apples would be like tusim v'rimonim, and therefore you're not allowed to press them midrabban. You're not allowed to press them midrabban. I would say oranges would be the same thing. Right? Oranges are, you know, just as common, maybe, I don't know, more common. I'm not sure what the percentages are, but oranges are very common. Anything that's very commonly pressed would fall into this category of tusim v'rimonim, and it would be usur midrabban to press them on Shabbos.
If the juice comes out,
then it depends. If it's sitting in your fridge and you're going to eat it, right? Let's say I have an apple in my fridge, okay? And I'm going to eat the apple. I'm not planning on pressing the apple. And now some juice oozes out, right? So then you're allowed to drink that juice on Shabbos. I'm not sure why you would want to, but you're allowed to drink that juice on Shabbos, right? Or let's say oranges, you know, if you have a bunch of oranges in a bag and the juice oozes out, you meant to eat the oranges. You didn't buy them for juicing purposes. So then you would be allowed to eat them.
According to what the Shulchan Aruch says, or the Rama says, if it's in a place, so if it's in a place, he says, "Ubamakom shenahogu liskot." So if there's a place X in the world where a certain fruit, where I would not even think of, you know, because nowadays they have these juicers.
Right.
So you have, you know.
You could juice anything.
You could juice anything.
Right.
So in place X where they juice everything, in that place, I guess,
right,
you would be able to.
But again, I think it depends a little bit. Just because you have some, you know, weird health stores that juice all types of fruits and vegetables, I don't think that makes it common.
Jesus.
You know, let's say celery, for example. I'm sure you're going to find some organic health store that juices celery, you know, that they press the celery, right? I don't think anybody would say that it's common to press celery in America. You know, it's done, doesn't mean it's common. All these things could have been done. We're talking about things that are commonly done.
Is it vegetables too? Fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, seemingly. I mean, you know, usually we talk about fruit because fruit has more juice generally than vegetables. So usually fruits are the things that are pressed.
So just in general, if that fruit is made to then get the din of...
Right.
Berries and
right. But that means, so nowadays, you know, you can't make fresh squeezed orange juice on Shabbos. You can't make fresh squeezed apple juice on Shabbos, you know. I mean, most people don't make apple juice at home, but oranges, you know, people have, you know, that little thing, and you take the half an orange and you squeeze it, and you make a little cup of orange juice. So you can't do that on Shabbos, right? Because it's, that's chita midraban. It has the halacha of tusim v'rimonim.
So back long ago, they may have done it.
Then, yeah, if it was uncommon to do it, and some guy had the chap, hey, why don't we just squeeze this orange? Then yeah, right. Then they might have done it. That could change with the time and the place. Okay. Now, writes the Mishnah Berurah. What's the svara behind the fact that that other fruit I'm allowed to, right? The Shulchan Aruch said other fruit you're allowed to squeeze, right? Let's say in his day, let's say, you know, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, let's say oranges. People didn't have orange juice, I guess, in those days, right? So oranges, you know, in those days you would be allowed to squeeze. Let's say you have something else that nowadays people don't squeeze. I don't know. You have pears. You know, most people don't press pears. You know, I mean, I'm sure some people do, but it's not a common drink to have pear juice, right? So pears, you know, lechora, according to the Shulchan Aruch, will be completely mutter. If you want to, you know, press a pear and make pear juice on Shabbos, it seems like it would be mutter. What's the svara for that? Why is that mutter, right? Why is it not schita? I'm still pressing a fruit and getting some liquid. So why is that not tzchita? Writes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 10. Mutar l'sachtan mishum de'omdin la'achila. Because since pears, or any type of fruit that's not commonly pressed, since it is set aside for eating purposes, right? That's the goal. I'm supposed to eat pears. I'm not supposed to press them. Veleka de'boy l'hu l'mashkin. And most people do not, press these things for liquid. Ein shame mashgal ayotze mehen. Writes the Mishnah Berurah that the liquid that comes out of a pear is not called pear juice. There's no such thing as pear juice. It's not called pear juice. Okay? V'havei kemafrid ochel me ochel. He says, in Svara, logically, what's happening is that I'm just separating one piece of the pear from another piece of pear. If I take a pear and I cut it in half, right? Do I violate mefarik? Of course not. Because I'm just separating one piece of pear from another piece of pear. So write the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a fruit that's not commonly pressed, and I press it, and now some liquid is coming out of the fruit, that's not pear juice, that's pear. It's pear coming out of pear. It's all ochel. The whole thing is ochel. Because this is not a normal drink that's consumed.
Well, like if you put watermelon in a bag, and the juice comes out, you can drink that juice.
Correct. Right. I would say that watermelons are not commonly pressed. Right? So, yeah.
Watermelon juice, because it tastes good.
Yeah, I guess so, right. And even if you wanted, you know, I wanted to make watermelon juice, right? I wanted to make, pear juice on Shabbos. So I took the pear and I squashed it and now I have pear juice. That was my intention, nevertheless. But l'daito etzel kolada. Right? Just because he's nuts doesn't mean that we take that into account from a halachic perspective. So this guy, he wants to make pear juice. That doesn't mean that the liquid that comes out of a pear is called pear juice. There's no such thing as pear juice, right? In terms of halachically speaking, obviously. So that's the svara, why you're allowed to do it. Okay. Now, it's very interesting because the Shulchan Aruch writes that there is a heter to squeeze things, even things that, let's say, are normally squeezed. Okay? Yeah, they are. Right? They're normally squeezed. But nevertheless, there is a heter to squeeze that on Shabbos. What's that heter? So writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 11. Lischot kivashim. Okay, if you want to press or squeeze kivashim, what are kivashim? So he defines it for us. Perush, peros umina yirakos hamunachim b'chometz ubemelach kedei shelo yirkavu. Pickles, right? Things that are pickled. Right? You leave them in the brine so that they don't, it preserves them. So imagine you have pickles, okay? So pickles are, pickles are not commonly squeezed. People don't generally drink pickle juice. You know, they're not commonly squeezed. But imagine you had something that would be somewhat commonly squeezed. Ushlakos, or you have cooked vegetables that might be squeezed. Writes the Shulchan Aruch. If you're pressing these vegetables, im legufa, let's say you're pressing them because it's not that I want the liquid, but I want less liquid in this solid. So let's say I have a pickle and it's a really soggy pickle. I don't like my pickle so soggy. So I want to squeeze the pickle. I want to press the pickle to get the pickle juice out. But I'm not interested in the pickle juice. I want to eat a drier pickle, right? I want to eat less of a juicy pickle. So in that kind of a case, writes the Shulchan Aruch, Shein tzarech l'magim ve'eino sochtan ela l'sakram la'achila. I don't need the juice. I just want to squeeze it to make it better to eat. It tastes better when it's less juicy. Afilu soche l'soch ka'ara she'ein ba'ochel mutter. So even if you're squeezing it into something, you're squeezing it into an empty cup. It's mutter, right? So let's say you have an orange, okay? And so oranges, we said nowadays, are going to be asur midrabanan because they're commonly juiced, okay? I have an orange, and I want to eat the orange. I don't want to juice the orange. But you know what? I don't like juicy oranges. So I want to take the orange, I want to give it a good squeeze, get the juice out, okay? And then I want to eat the rest of the orange. That's mutter. You're allowed to do that, right? You're allowed to do that. We'll get to that. No. He's saying even if it's an empty plate.
He says that there is no food in it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Because if you put in food, it's like you want it.
Well, hold on. We'll get to that in a minute. That's important. Okay? Now, explains the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12, just explaining this halacha. He writes in Lagufan, Ratzalomar, Shesochton mimashke hatzof aleihen vehaniv labohen, kedei lesakin gufan la'achilo levad ve'ein sarach lememein. Again, it's oversaturated with juice. I have a really juicy orange, and it's a mess, and I don't really want to eat such a juicy orange. So I want to squeeze it just to get some of the juice out, and then I'm going to eat the orange. That's mutter. L'chein einenu b'chla mefarik la. That's not mefarik. Mefarik is when I want the juice. right? When I want the substance that I'm separating, not when I don't want it. Kevan she'eino mechaven b'shvil hamashke eino bichlal hamalacha. That's not included in the malacha because you're not intending for that mashke at all. Ubezeisim va'anovim asur b'chol gavnei. However, he says the one exception to this is zeisim va'anovim. You can't say that if I have a really juicy grape and I want to squeeze the grape to get some of the juice out, that's still asur. That's still asur. Why? Mishum derov ha'olam sochtin osam lememehet. Because since most people who press grapes and press olives are doing it for the juice, they want the olive oil, they want the grape juice. So just because I'm doing it, because I want a less juicy grape or a less juicy olive, again, we would say, I'm doing a masa malacha, which is asr on Shabbos. So that's this heter of squeezing to get the juice out of the fruit applies to everything except for zeisim v'anavim, because that's asr midoraisa. Again, this is not so common, but it can happen. Now, is there a heter at all to squeeze grapes on Shabbos? Any heter to squeeze grapes? Comes to Shulchan Aruch and says yes. What's the heter to squeeze grapes? As follows. Source number 13. Mutur lischot eshkol anovim lesoch kedera sheyesh batavshil kedei lesakein haochel. Let's say that I want to add grape juice to my dish, whatever dish that might be. Right? I have some kind of a chicken, and it tastes really good when I squeeze some grape juice onto this chicken. Or olives, right? When I squeeze some olive juice onto my chicken, I really like the taste. So, right, so Shulchan Aruch, no problem. If you're squeezing it onto food, absolutely no problem. Dehavale mashke habala ochel uke ochel dami. Since the purpose of this mashke, the purpose of this liquid, is to enhance the food, it's like the food. We view it as food. We view it as ochel, not as mashke. Avalim ein batav shil aser. But if it's an empty pot, an empty plate, an empty bowl, an empty cup, there's no tavshil in there. There's no dish. There's no chicken. There's no food in there. So then I'm not allowed to squeeze into that thing.
That's just specific for grapes.
No, it's even grapes. Even grapes, which are also midoraisa and olives, right? Certainly other things. So that's why there's no problem on Shabbos. If you want to take a lemon, right? Let's say I have I'm eating salmon, right? And people like to have some, to squeeze some lemon juice on their salmon. No problem, right? If I'm squeezing it onto food. Absolutely no problem.
But the other heter is if you squeeze the lemon because you don't like all that juice, you want to squeeze out and you put it in that.
But what are you doing? You're eating a lemon? Most people don't eat a lemon. But yes, theoretically, yes.
Theoretically, yes. You want to eat because
exactly,
like
right.
Pickle.
Right, exactly. With the exception of zeisim v'anavim. Right, right.
So the juice then could be, you could squeeze lemon into your tea.
Hold on. Right now we're talking about food. Right, food. Okay, hold on. Okay? So right now we're talking about food. Okay? Right now we're talking about food. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does write in another place. This is in Hilchos Yom Tov, in Simen Tav Kuf Hei. He does write that when you're using this heter of squeezing something, he's talking about milking a cow, which I don't want to talk about this week. Maybe we'll talk about milking a cow next week. That's an interesting... but let's just assume for a minute that milking a cow is mefarik. Okay? Let's assume that for a minute. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more next week, okay? But he's talking about a case where you're milking a cow. So he says, let's say you're milking the cow, and the milk is going straight into food. So that should be mutter, right? Because we said it's if you're putting the liquid right into food, so that's okay, that's mutter. Yeah, exactly. Well, again, food again. I mean, let's talk about food first. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in source number 14, that it's only if you need the majority of that milk for the food, meaning you can't have like a little bit of food and then overload the whole bucket full of milk, on top of that little bit of food. That's just trickery, that's not going to work. Right, the Mishnah Berurah, sheyesh b'kedera kol kach ochlin kifitzorech hachalav l'tikuna, right? You have enough food in there that you need this milk. This milk is enhancing that food. Okay, like let's say your cereal, for example, right? You have a cereal bowl and you milk the milk from the cow right into your cereal bowl. So there has to be a substantial amount of cereal in that bowl that the milk will enhance the cereal. While kopanim sherova chalav yad nitzrach laochel, or at least the majority of the milk is used for the cereal. Vaydeze shari af miuta chalav hanisha she'enot tzarich la tavshil. He says, let's say you have a bowl of cereal and now you put in milk, and let's say you put in a little too much milk from the cow. Okay, so you can empty some of that milk and still use the milk as long as the majority of the milk was enhancing the food. That's good enough. Right, so Shulchan Aruch HaRav, a similar idea. in source number 15. Right, we're only talking about where you're milking the cow directly into the food to enhance the food, like the case of the cereal. Well, let's say I have bread or something. I have pieces of bread in the bucket. And now I'm milking the cow into that bucket. The milk is being absorbed well into that bread. Right? In Svara, the logic is that it's batel to the ochel. Once it's being absorbed by the ochel, or it's enhancing the ochel, it's batel to the ochel, and it's called ochel. But let's say I just have, you know, one piece of bread in a bucket, and now I'm milking this cow into that bucket. Even though a little bit of that milk is being absorbed into that one piece of bread, but since you have a great deal of chalav in that pail that's not at all absorbed into the bread, that's aser. Okay, so it sounds like similar to the Mishnah Brura, that you need at least the majority of the liquid is enhancing the food. Even if you have a little bit that's not, it's okay, as long as the majority of that liquid is enhancing the food. You can't, you know, drown your salmon in lemon juice, you know, you put a little bit of lemon juice on the salmon to enhance it, that's fine. You know, you drown it in lemon juice just as a trick, because you want the lemon juice, that you can't do. That you're not allowed to do. Okay? Now, what about Stewie's case of into liquid, right? Till now we've been talking about into food. What about into liquid? So writes the Bir Halacha, on the words Habala Ochel. Going on those words in source number 13 in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, "Aval lesoch kli sheyesh ba mashke." However, if you're squeezing it into a cup of liquid, aser v'chiyuv nami yesh ba zeh kein kasev el yirabe v'shar echaronim upashin. The only heter here is because you're squeezing it onto food, but if you're squeezing it into liquid, then you don't have the heter. Then that's not called ochel. The whole svara is that if the mashke is bala ochel, the mashke is enhancing the ochel, then the mashke also has a din of ochel. But if the mashke is coming to enhance mashke, so then we don't say that. Now again, keep in mind that the Shulchan Aruch was talking about anavim. He was talking about grapes. Okay, he was talking about grapes. So when it comes to grapes, you would be allowed to squeeze your grapes or your olives onto food. You would not be allowed to squeeze your grapes or your olives onto liquid. Okay? Or into liquid. Now, what about lemons? Right? So Stewie was mentioning before the case of lemons. Comes to Shulchan Aruch in source number 17 and writes three very important words. Mutar lischot limonis. Right? You're allowed to squeeze lemons. Period. Right? You're allowed to squeeze lemons. Writes the Shulchan Aruch. Now, what does that mean? And here's where we get the lemonade. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and writes lischot limonis ubil shoneinu citrin. That's what they called lemons, I guess. V'hainu afilu l'mashkin, writes the Mishnah Berurah. That means not only are you allowed to squeeze lemon onto your salmon, onto your food, you're also allowed to squeeze lemon into mashkin, right? Lemon into tea, right? Let's assume that the tea is let's think for a minute. If the tea is in a let's say a kli shlishi, okay, you know, you could squeeze, you could put your lemon into your tea. Okay, some might even say in a kli sheni. So let's say you're squeezing your lemon into tea, or squeezing your lemon into your Diet Coke, right, or whatever, writes the Mishnah Berurah, that should be fine, right, that should be fine. V'yav shederech l'sochtan b'chol, and even though people do squeeze lemons during the week, kevan she'ein derech klal l'sochtan l'tzorech mashke, el l'tabil bo ochel, have kishar peros, v'chanal b'sifalof, writes the Mishnah Berurah. What's the heter for lemons? Lemons are never squeezed for themselves. No one drinks plain lemon juice. Lemon juice is used to enhance something else. It's used to enhance food. It's used to enhance other liquids. And lemon juice is never consumed by itself, right? You put sugar. Oh, hold on, right. But by itself, it's not consumed, right? Apple juice, you could drink by itself. Orange juice, you could drink by itself.
Why would they even... It says in the Mishnah, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, "Mishar kol peres mutalas
l'sach." Right.
So why would he think that? Why do you have to enumerate lemons?
The reason why he does this is because lemons, remember that when the Shulchan Aruch said that other peros you're allowed to squeeze, that was because other peros we said were not commonly squeezed, Anything that's commonly squeezed is like tusim v'rimonim, and it's also midirabbanan. So lemons are commonly squeezed, but comes the Mishmur and explains, but since lemons are not commonly squeezed for themselves, they're only squeezed as enhancers of something else, to enhance your salmon, to enhance your Diet Coke, to enhance your tea. That's why lemons are squeezed. So they have a different halacha. They're considered like shar peros, even though they're commonly squeezed. Okay? So hold on. Now, comes the Mishabura, and here he starts talking about lemonade. Va'afilu imaderech l'sochton b'chol l'soch mayim shenosnu b'hem tzukor l'shtos l'tanuk. And even if the derech is, it's normal, it's totally normal, to squeeze lemons into sugar water. Right? You have water with sugar in it, and you squeeze lemons into that water, you're making lemonade. Right? You want to make lemonade on Shabbos. So, seemingly, says the Mishnah Berurah, if that is the derech, that's what people do, it's normally squeezed into this liquid, maybe it should be problematic, but he says, Mikom Makom, Noagin Ha'olam Lahake La'asos Zeh B'Shabbos. He says, the Minag Ha'olam is to be lenient and to allow this on Shabbos. That we allow people to squeeze lemons into water with sugar to make lemonade on Shabbos. Why? The Evshar Mishum, the low mitzar ela kishederech lishtos meschitas hapri gam belo taruvis mashke acher. So the first svara he gives is the svara that he just mentioned before. That maybe when we say that you're not allowed to squeeze a fruit, right, for its juice on Shabbos, maybe that's only if it's normal to drink, you're squeezing it for the juice itself. But here, where you never drink the juice itself, you never drink lemon juice by itself, it's always mixed with something else, maybe that's not awesome. Maybe that's not prohibited. He says maybe that's what people rely on when they squeeze the lemon juice right into the water on Shabbos.
But if you are going to drink the lemon juice, then you...
Plain?
Yeah.
But again, it sounds like if it's not normally done, if people don't do that, so it would still be mutter. That's what it sounds like.
It would still be mutter.
Yeah. But nobody does that. But yeah. It sounds like it would still be mutter. Okay? He gives another svara here, and he writes, interestingly, Inami, the lo mitzar elakisha sochtin meimov levad, the achar kach me'arvin osam. Right? What's usser is when I squeeze the juice by itself, and then I take that juice and I mix it with other things. However, aval, ima minog lischot meimov lesoch mashke acher, litain botam, shari. But if I never squeeze it by itself, but I always squeeze it into something else. I mean, this is a chronological point, right? It's not that I squeeze it by itself and then I mix it. I squeeze it directly into the liquid. So if I always squeeze it directly into the liquid, that's the minog, then that's okay. So he gives two separate svaras why lemonade might be mutter to make on Shabbos. Svara number one, the only thing that's usser is when the juice itself is consumed. And here, nobody drinks lemon juice by itself, right? It's only used to enhance other things. And svara number two is that the only time something is usher is when it's squeezed into a cup by itself, and then it's mixed into another drink. But since when it comes to lemons, people squeeze the lemons directly into the other drink without squeezing them into the cup by itself, so therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay? However, comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, nowadays, ulefi zeh, bizman hazeh, shiyadua shememalin chavis lemeos lishtos im punch be'ezeh mekomos. He says, nowadays, they had this minhag that people squeeze lemons by themselves and put it into a big barrel of just pure lemon juice, okay? And then they would add it into other things, punch. They would add it into other things to drink later. So they did. So in times of the Mishnah Berurah already, people were squeezing lemons by themselves, right? Maybe they weren't drinking the lemon juice by itself, but they were squeezing it by itself. They weren't just squeezing it into a liquid. So now that second svara that he gave is now a little shaky, right? Because he says nowadays, people don't just squeeze it into liquid. They squeeze it into a separate barrel by itself. No, in general, that's the minhag that people do it. Then he says, "Tzarich iyun gadol imutar l'sochtan b'Shabbos l'soch mashke." So he says, not so simple anymore. Once we lost that second svara, because nowadays people do have the minhag to squeeze lemons by themselves into a barrel, into a bucket, into something big to add into other things later. So we lost our second svara to be matir. He says it's not so pasha. We still have the first svara. But now we don't have the second svara. It's not so pasha to allow this, to squeeze it into mashke. The efshar the dami letusim v'rimonim. Kevan derech l'sochtan b'kelim yifnei atzman. Maybe nowadays, since the minhag is that we do press lemons and we put the lemon juice into kelim by themselves, barrels by themselves. So maybe that's like tusim v'rimonim, things that are commonly squeezed nowadays, and therefore we wouldn't be allowed to squeeze it into mashke, right? Into ochel you can squeeze it, right? But not into mashke. So he says, therefore, it's best when you're making lemonade on Shabbos not to squeeze a lemon directly into the sugar water. But how should you do it? The trick, says the Mishnah Berurah, of making lemonade on Shabbos is first take the sugar by itself. Squeeze the lemon juice directly onto the sugar. If you do that, that's mashke habala ochel. That you're allowed to do. That you're certainly allowed to do. That's like squeezing your lemon onto salmon. So that you're allowed to do. You can squeeze the lemon onto the sugar. And once you squeeze lemon onto the sugar, now you put that sugar, you mix it into the water, now you have lemonade. So right, so it's seemingly, according to this, and nowadays, certainly people make lemon juice. I mean, lemon juice is mass-produced, right? Certainly you have factories that are squeezing, you know, tons of lemons and packaging them separately, and people take that lemon juice and they add it to other things. So nowadays, certainly we would fall into this category. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not so simple. He has one svara to allow it, because people don't drink lemon juice by itself, but he's not so willing to rely on that svara. So he says the best thing to do when it comes to lemons is not to squeeze them directly into liquid, so not to squeeze it directly into your Coke or directly into your tea or whatever, or into your water, you know, sugar water if you're making lemonade, but to squeeze them first onto an ochel, like sugar, and then mix it in. That's the best thing to do.
So
yeah.
What if I just want to drink a lemon into water?
Lemon into water is problematic. It's problematic on Shabbos.
So the thought I was saying, why does it matter if it's something that's usually done or not?
Because again, what we said was we had these three categories, right? We had Zeisim Vanovim, which are Asar Midoraisa. Then we had Category 2, which was Asar Midorabanan. And Category 3 is Mutter. So the Category 2, which is Asar Midorabanan, the rabbis only prohibited fruit that is normally pressed, that is normally squeezed. So if I have fruit that's normally pressed, that's going to be Asar Midorabanan. Any fruit that's not normally pressed, we said that's going to be Mutter. So once lemons are normally pressed, we have a problem on our hands. So first, the Mishnah Berurah was willing to be a little bit makel because he said, you know, at first, lemons were only pressed into other things. They were never pressed, you know, and just used as lemon juice by themselves, right? They were never pressed into their own barrels. They were always pressed into other things. But it says the Mishnah Berurah, even in his day, but nowadays that we do press lemons by themselves, and we have barrels of lemon juice sitting around, so he said that's like tusim vanovim. These are things that are commonly pressed.
So can you squeeze the lemon into just the plain bowl and then pour that into the water.
You want the lemon,
right?
The juice you can't even put into it.
Well, what he's saying
instead of pouring in the squeezing the lemon.
No, but essentially, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is that nowadays, even though the Shulchan Aruch writes mutar lischot limons, right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. You're allowed to squeeze lemons. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. What the Mishnah Berurah is saying is that nowadays it's not so simple. Because as he says, what he says is that the metzias may have changed. In times of the Shulchan Aruch, people didn't squeeze lemons by themselves.
You wouldn't be able to take a fruit
right,
is normally squeezed,
like an orange,
squeeze it into a bowl and then pour it somewhere else.
Yeah. I would say to squeeze lemons into liquids, you should not do on Shabbos, right? Unless you're squeezing it onto sugar. Yeah. So if you want to put it in your tea, you could squeeze it onto sugar, right? Squeeze the lemon juice onto the sugar and then mix that into your tea. You'll still get the same lemon taste.
Get the preformed lemon juice.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if they sell like solid lemon cubes or something like that. But that's what I would recommend. The last, we'll just conclude with this. The last, the heter, writes the Ramah, is that the Ramah says all this that we're talking about is only when it comes to schita, when it comes to pressing. Because it davka lischot aser, it's also to press it. But he says you're allowed to take a grape, put it in your mouth, and suck the juice out. That you're allowed to do. Right? That you're allowed to do. You just can't squeeze it. Why? Then he says, V'yesh osrim, of course, right? V'yesh osrim, there are those that prohibit this. Now write the Mishnah Berurah, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? He writes, V'yin be'eliyah rabba, in source number 20, Shekosav, the v'zeisim anovim sheschitosim midoraisa, when it comes to v'zeisim anovim, which are osrim midoraisa, hanochon lahachmir milimtzotz afilu befiv, kisvara rishona, u'bishare dvarim in lahachmir. I say, Eliyah Rabba says, when it comes to things that are midal raisa, zeisim vanovim, that you shouldn't, you know, suck out with your mouth. But when it comes to things that are even only asr midrabanan, that you can. So according to the Eliyah Rabba, I can take an orange, right? I shouldn't take a grape and squeeze it into my mouth, but I can take an orange and suck out the juice. Okay, now, He writes, Umistavra, imesimam lesoch piv, umotze tamashke, umashli chacharzanim lechutz, lekulo yamo derech machalhu. What's the svara here? Why are you allowed to do this? Because when you're doing this, it's called derech achila, right? It's derech achila. So some say it might not be derech achila to stick it by my mouth and to suck the juice out. That might not be derech achila. But writes the Mishnah Brura, but if, let's say, I stick the whole grape in my mouth, and then while the grape is in my mouth, or the olive's in my mouth, I squeeze out the juice, and then I spit out the rest of the grape, that's fine. That's certainly derech achila, right? So that's one heter. Even for zeisim ba'anavim, if they're in your mouth, and you squeeze the juice out, and then you spit them out, that's okay. To just stick them by the, you know, at the opening of my mouth and squeeze out the juice, that we shouldn't do with zeisim ba'anavim. Other things are okay, right? But to stick it in my mouth, that would be okay. But that's we'll stop here, and in Mitzvah Shem next week we'll continue
now,
with other.
About
yeah.
The slicing a lemon.
Yeah.
Or cutting up a lemon and then soaking that in the water.
You want to soak a lemon. You want to take the lemon.
Right, and just drop it in the water.
And just put the lemon in. You're not squeezing it. You're not squeezing
it.
You put.
Didn't say the juice that comes out of it. Fruits. Where was it?
Yeah. So we said when it comes to tusim v'rimonim, anything that oozes out by itself. We said it depends, right? If they're only lemachal, then it's okay. But if they're only lemashke, then it's a problem. So here, you're using it lemashke. That's a good answer. So that might still be problematic. Meaning, if you just want to stick it into the water pitcher, right? You want your water to have like a little lemony taste or something, but lime in the water pitcher. Can you do that on Shabbos? It would seem that maybe not, right? It would seem that based on Joe's svara, maybe not, because maybe that's. maybe that's like yotzim, like yotzim yatzman, and they're set aside for juice. That's the purpose of it. I have to double check on that, but it sounds like it might be a problem also.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
All right.